Hi, everybody. Welcome back to part two of July 2023, What to Expect. We're going to continue the conversation from where we left off with me talking about astrological occurrences throughout the month of July, and then also going through a little bit about how the sun, particularly in Cancer, is affecting all of the signs. And then we will have our charm casting reading by the Virgin Priestess, which is a reading for everyone, a collective reading for the month of July using charms and a charm mat. So you don't want to miss that. Stay tuned. So I've been talking about what happens July 17th. We have two big things happening, but the first thing, okay, I've been talking about this for over a year. We've been talking about this for over a year on the Astro G Ladies Roundtable Discussions. Make sure you check that out on the Spiritual Gangster Certified YouTube channel, by the way, where I talk with other amazing astrology ladies who know their shit. But we've been talking about the nodal change that was about to come. Now, I've seen this question online, especially on Facebook and astrology groups lately, so I wanted to address this. Unlike other bodies, and the nodes are not physical places, so let's point that out. It's not like a planet or an asteroid. However, the way the motion of the nodes is calculated is its natural direction would be retrograde direction. So in other words, the nodes move through the signs backwards. So as I saw somebody confused, they're like, well, if the North Node is in Taurus right now and the South Node is in Scorpio right now, then how the hell are the nodes changing to Aries and Libra? Because of that backwards movement. So given that, on the 17th of this month, the nodes are going to switch from Taurus in the North Node position, Scorpio in the South Node position, to Aries North Node, Libra South Node. And the reason I've been talking about this for over a year, first of all, as soon as the nodes went to Taurus and Scorpio, I experienced a nodal square. Like immediately, I'm a 29 degree North Node in Leo, South Node in Aquarius. So as soon as the nodes, since they moved backwards, since soon as they entered Taurus and Scorpio, they were at 29 degrees of Taurus, 29 degrees of Scorpio. And I legit felt the fuck out of that, y'all. Now, if anybody needs a quick refresher, the North Node in general points in the direction that we're supposed to be going in this incarnation, while the South Node is pointing to things that we've already become very familiar with from maybe past incarnations and energy. So it's easy sometimes to fall back on one's natal South Node versus going towards their North Node. But collectively, when we look at the nodes, there's many different things that we saw happen. And I'm going to take this back to when the North Node was in Gemini and South Node was in Sagittarius. During that time frame, which encompassed us having, you know, a lot of stuff going on, including the election, the presidential election in the U.S. in 2020. What we saw, so the North Node was in Gemini, which is about collecting a lot of information, right? Getting a lot of ideas, you know, being free to communicate and toss around a bunch of information and ideas. Whereas the South Node was in Sagittarius, which points to single-mindedness, almost standing on one's soapbox in belief. And we collectively saw, especially on social media, who was more likely to be open to ideas and who wasn't. Who was going to stand on their soapbox about what they already know or what they think and trying to preach that to everybody and make their one way of thinking be everybody's thinking. We clearly saw who those people are. So, okay, that 18-month period, we were able to see those people. Then the nodes moved into Taurus and Scorpio. Well, what was the theme there? You could look at it like, we collectively were moving to, people should be moving more towards their values, or what aligns with their values, what is valuable to them, and moving away from some of the Scorpio keywords that are not necessarily all that good, you know, control, manipulation, abuse, sexual abuse, stuff like that. There was a lot of stuff that was coming up during the nodes being in Taurus and Scorpio that pointed to this. And also because we were also dealing with Saturn Aquarius for part of this time, and the ruler of Saturn and Aquarius would be Uranus, which was in Taurus. Again, that's a double pointing to values. So what we saw was that a lot of people fell out of line with some of their, and I mentioned this already the last time I recorded, about the misalignment with people to their friendship circles due to values, and realizing suddenly we don't share the same values. So after going through those periods, now with the nodes moving to Aries and Libra, listen, I took this very plainly. Moving in the direction of self and away from partnership, which I think punctuates what we've already been experiencing even more. Because if you're not aligned with the people that you're connected to, if you walk towards your values and away from someone trying to control you or manipulate you or abuse you, you literally chose yourself. So the theme of the next 18 months is to be walking towards self-discovery, responsibility for self too. You may see some instances of people going overboard with that, but also maybe the ending of some partnerships, relationships, collaborations, contracts that don't put self first after this value assessment. So it's amazing to me when I watch these cycles with astrology, it's allowing us to see how the universe allows us I don't want to put it like a script in a way. I almost look at it like, and shout outs to Ra Aku, because he did a talk on this before, how life is like a video game. If you look at life like a video game, okay, you choose your character, you're picking their characteristics, all of that. You could liken that to prior to actually being born, you choosing when you were going to be born and what your story was going to be and what your strengths and weaknesses were going to be, right? Now, some people will argue, I guess that means that we don't have free will. And I'm like, nope. When you play a video game, you still have to make decisions within the game, no matter what the main script of the game is. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm referring to when I'm saying that it seems as if it's easy to see the universe giving us themes for what's next in the game, so to speak. How you use that energy, how you play around with it, really still depends on the choices that you make. But here's the themes that are going to be coming up. And also because Chiron is going to continue to be in Aries, this is going to be a very interesting time with the nodes, because those two things are going to meet up. And I'll probably make more content about this. I did make a YouTube video about the women being tired. I said that, well, let me backtrack a little bit. Chiron and Aries in general said to me that people have to take responsibility for their healing. But another theme that popped into my head is the masculine, the collective of masculine, the divine masculine even, so to speak, had to deal with its own healing. And as we live in a world where every day, I don't even know the statistics on this exactly, but every day there is some dusty male creating a podcast. And every day, hopefully, maybe there's some amazing man creating a podcast, but it seems like I see more dusty males making these podcasts than anything else, where they are spewing out filth from their mouths, regarding women. The men have been really being hit with the energy of, y'all need to take responsibility and look at self. While you're busy pointing the finger everywhere else, look at you. And women, us as their counterparts, well, how have we been responding to the uptick of the energy of the men who are refusing to take accountability? Well, we're not taking it lying down. So we're going to see more of this over the next 18 months. And just thinking about some of the things that I've already seen as far as the content that's out here of what is expected of women while men are allowed to be just heinous. I shudder to think. But the same day that the North Node is going to enter Aries, we're also going to be having a new moon in Cancer. And again, a new moon is when the moon and the sun are perfectly aligned in the same sign at the same degree. If you have the opportunity this day, make sure that you find a way to comfort yourself. And when I say comfort yourself, I don't necessarily mean like for instance, if one knows that they have a problem with emotional eating, I'm not saying go soothe yourself emotionally with food. No, since this is a new moon, this is a time frame to create something brand new. And if we've been paying attention to, you know, what has been going on within us, what we've been feeling, what's at the heart of those feelings, what makes us respond the way that we do. If we've really been paying attention to those things, we should be present to how we're nurturing not only other people close to us, but ourselves, and whether it serves a healthy purpose. Now, Mercury in Leo is going to be square Jupiter in Taurus that same day. This is kind of like harsh. Okay. It may almost feel like, and this is the same day that the nodes are switching and we're having a new moon. All I'm going to say to y'all is be careful. These two signs, fixed signs at that, squaring each other, neither one of them want to move. You got fixed earth and you got fixed fire. Fire and earth already are like not really willing to compromise with each other like fire and air could, or water and earth. But this is a day, I feel like, where somebody is going to pop their shit. They ego going to be too big for their britches. So I'm warning, don't write a check your ass can't cash, literally. Don't let your mouth get you in trouble, because it will have a big disastrous effect on you. Now, when people think of Taurus energy, they think of lazy a lot. But here's something that I always say. There's a bull lying in the field. It doesn't want to move. Oh, look at it. Just sit there. Let's think of the reverse of this. If a fucking bull is charging at you, good damn luck getting it to stop. Do you want to poke the bull because you said something that you shouldn't have? Your ego got too big for you, and now you're getting stuck with horns? Think about it. It's going to be a really energetically busy day. On July 20th, the Sun in Cancer is going to try Neptune in Pisces. I think this is a great day for paying attention to your intuition and how it leads you to further compassion. Compassion is a big theme of Cancer season anyway. And with the help of Neptune, it's going to be even more there. Now, I know some people get mad when I'm like, oh, be more compassionate. If they felt like they are the most compassionate person on the planet, excuse me, and that they leak compassion out of their souls. This may also be a day for people like that to examine if you've poured some of that compassion into yourself. Just saying. The same day, we're going to have Mars, which is in Virgo still, opposing Saturn in Pisces. Again, thinking of oppositions. Let's think of an opponent. So you've got Mars over there in the sign of the nitpicky, critical virgin in the field, separating what's necessary from what's not. And in this corner, we have Saturn in Pisces. Now, if you've heard me talk about Saturn in Pisces before, there's a lot of different ways that you can look at this. The first that came to mind with the transit was making dreams real. We're taking your dreams seriously. That sort of thing. Also, I honestly, because of things that have been going on in the collective, thought of, can we take mental health issues seriously? Now, you've got a warrior, a nitpicky warrior, opposing making your dreams real. There may be something small, something tiny, some imperfection, something that you may have overlooked that has somehow put a damper on you getting what you were trying to build, what you were trying to build in reality. Because remember, Saturn, like I say, if you're responsible and integrous and you do your due diligence and you do your work and you set things up appropriately, will reward you. And it being in Pisces, of course, okay, well, what did you imagine? What did you dream of? What did you come up with? But remember, Pisces is big picture energy, while, you know, Virgo is the details. What did you overlook? To avoid frustration, you got to slow down some, be willing to go back over your shit and over your work and see what you missed. So while there's an opportunity that same day to have all of this empathetic energy, be more intuitive and creative and pour into yourself, there's also that energy of, well, what did I leave out? How come I'm not having this go the way I wanted it to go? And then the very next damn day, the sun, it's still in Cancer, is going to oppose Pluto in Capricorn. Remember, Pluto retrograded back from Aquarius into Capricorn. I would say you have to be really, really careful. Pluto is bringing up things from the underworld. Capricorn bad keywords could be, this is terrible to put it this way, but if you think of a mob boss, okay, like mob bosses will order a hit on you, and everybody that you know that knows about the hit is still smiling in your face. They give you the kiss of death. This is the energy of maybe having to come face to face opposing this kind of hidden undercurrent of control, or a hit being out on you, so to speak. It'll be easier under this energy not to just rile yourself up and directly fight the opponent. I think with whatever gets revealed to you around this time and around this day, it's probably better that you peep what's going on and hold your cards close to your chest. Excuse me. That would be the better option. Because if you choose to go up against this, I don't feel like it will be very favorable. Now, of course, certain things depend on your chart. Everything that I'm talking about is general, which sometimes bothers me because I'm such a proponent for everybody learning their natal energy and their progressed energy and seeing how they're impacted by the transits. But we do have to understand how everybody else is likely going to act as well. So that's important. We have two, or actually, I should say, two huge things happening July 22nd. However, keep something in mind. Number one, July 22nd is going to start Leo season this year. Okay? But Venus, which was already in Leo, is going to go retrograde. Now, I've read a lot about people's differing opinions on retrograde planets, particularly Venus and Leo. And I have every planet retrograde in my chart except for Venus and Neptune. So I can't really speak on a retrograde Venus from personal experience. But I will say this. If Venus is going back over the degrees that it's already visited, we're bringing up some themes that have happened in the past few weeks at this time. When I tell people to check themselves against Leo energy, check your pride. Did your pride prevent you from actually healthily engaging in a relationship? Did your pride prevent you from actually taking full advantage of some sort of monetary opportunity? Did your pride misalign you with your values? You get a little bit of time for the universe to go back over that and see if that's the case. And as the sun is actually entering Leo too at this time, you know, I like Leo energy, even though it quincunxes my sun, right? It is a very fun energy. It's the sort of energy that's playful at heart. So when we're talking about the best qualities of entering Leo season, even though I feel like every time I talk about this, encouraging positivity, the thing that I usually see is all the negative Leo qualities. But also, what we want to think about is the fact that we don't have, you know, life is very short. Even if you live 100 years, in the span of time, that's not a long time. It isn't. And oftentimes, we take ourselves so seriously that we don't reconnect with our inner child and who we are. I think Leo season is the perfect time to get in contact with that inner child. It can take us extremes, though. Again, some people are going to make everything about them. But that's just one of the ways that Leo energy plays out. And we talked about Chiron earlier in that same day. Chiron's going retrograde. Again, when things are retrograding, they're revisiting territory. So repeating themes. All the re's having to do with taking responsibility for one's healing and that other iteration that I said of men collectively having to be responsible for their healing. I'll talk more about this at a different time. Mercury in Leo that day is also going to square Uranus in Taurus. Okay. Listen. I'm telling people, be careful of communication. There may be some sudden outbursts. Some people are going to charge at you out of nowhere, or you may charge at someone else. Big injuries to the ego under this energy. So be careful. Fast forwarding to July 27th, Mercury is going to conjunct Venus in Leo. I love this because it's like, okay, so Mercury's the messenger planets. You can also think about like how you move around your neighborhood, not just your thinking and stuff like that, right? And then Venus is about appreciative love, appreciating people, right? Appreciating things. This is really a positive energy. And I think that like it being in Leo, if you want to be a little show-offy, go ahead. Pop your shit, boo. The next day we're going to have, because I feel like I've been talking forever, and this was just supposed to be a brief overview, but I don't even know if I can do brief. July 28th, Mercury's going to enter its home sign of Virgo. Now, eventually we're going to be having Mercury retrograding in Virgo. So, just wanted to say, as we prepare ourselves, first of all, for Mercury to enter Virgo, a lot of people don't understand how, if they don't have like a lot of Virgo placements or a lot of any signs placements for that matter, how these transits, and I'm just starting to realize how many people don't understand transits. I'm going to put it very simply, just in case anybody's been confused this entire time. The moment you were born is a snapshot of what was going on astrologically, but that chart kept moving. When we look at your birth chart, we're only considering that snapshot. But that's a moment in time that was captured. The chart kept moving. and it's still moving. So when we're referring to transits, we're talking about how the planets are currently moving in the sky. And then we consider that personally against either our birth chart or our progress chart, or whatever chart we're putting down to look at, right? So Mercury, the messenger planet, ruling all of the communication thought processes, short journeys that we have within our neighborhood, our neighbors, our neighborhood, the siblings and cousins as well. In all of those areas that I just talked about, the energy of Virgo will be there. Virgo, again, separating what's necessary from what's not. But Virgo's very precise. Virgo's super practical. If it doesn't make sense and doesn't belong there, Virgo doesn't think it should be there. So just think about this energy being in the collective. And let me know what you come up with for how you think that that transit's going to go. But we're definitely going to talk about it more in upcoming episodes, because we've been dealing this year with Mercury retrograding only in the Earth signs. And that's been fascinating, if I do say so myself. But for the rest of Cancer season, the Sun is going to be transiting everyone's charts individually. If you want to get a better look at what that looks like for you, I'm actually working on a book. I can't wait till it comes out, to teach people how to track the Sun through their chart and the meaning that they could derive. It'll be a journal too, so that you'll be able to really keep track of this. Because what I have noticed is that doing this every year, I see patterns. I see themes. I become better prepared. And that's just by looking at where the Sun is in the chart. But for people with Aries energy, okay, Cancer season is affecting the fourth house. So this is your private life. How you feel about your private life. Issues of the home that you built or the home that you came from. Your mother, women, you know, family issues, etc. For Taurus, it's the third house. So the house of thought processes, your neighborhood, your neighbors, siblings, cousins, early education, and communication. For Gemini, this is the second house of self-worth, money that you make, value, like your values, your possessions. So the Sun is highlighting that area of life. For Cancers, of course, this is going to be the first house. For Cancer energy, this energy is literally in its face. Issues dealing with feelings of self. Is one comfortable with self? Is one willing to assert themselves based on how they feel? Are those feelings direct or indirect? Leos, this would be the 12th house. So the most hidden part of the chart, it's like the feet. Because it's ruled by Pisces. It's harder to see than, you know, everything above that. This is also known as the house of self-undoing. So if one isn't aware of what's going on there, if you're not aware of how you're feeling, if you're not aware of issues having to deal with your family and women, it's a blind spot for you. And that blind spot can work against you. It's also the house of hidden enemies. It can be the house of hidden friends too. For Virgo, this is your 11th house. So your connection to community, groups, friendship circles, collective hopes, all of that sort of stuff. For Libra, it would be the 10th house, the highest part of your chart. Shout out especially to all the Libra risings. I'm one too. The Sun is hitting the highest part of our chart. It's transiting the part of our chart speaking to our reputation. You are on display, loves. For Scorpio, oof, this Cancer energy is in your ninth house. Big feels. Big feels. Scorpio, big feels. Because the ninth house is naturally ruled by Sagittarius, which is ruled by Jupiter. And whatever Jupiter touches, it expands. It makes it huge. So Cancer season for y'all may always feel like a time where, damn, like, either there's big issues with family, women, big intuition, just big being in your feelings, that sort of stuff. For Sagittarius, this is going to be the 8th house. And there's some deeper work to do when we get to the eighth house, you know? I feel like the eighth house is a place of mystery that we have to not be scared to solve. We can't be scared to look at the crime scene photos. We can't be afraid to open that closet or cellar door, maybe. You know, we have to be willing, no matter how we're going to feel, to go there. For Capricorn, of course, this is the seventh house. So, you know, your partnerships, business, romantic, otherwise, contracts. This is the area of life that Cancer season highlights for Capricorn energy. For Aquarius, it's the sixth house, your health, your day-to-day work activities, the routines that you have, that sort of thing. Your work environment, immediate work environment. And then for Pisces, it's the fifth house. So the house of pleasure. Yo, Cancer season should be fun for Pisces energy. But what can also happen with fifth house energy is because it has to deal with our vitality. Since the sun is shining a spotlight on the areas of the chart where it lights it up, it could also show what's a threat to your vitality or what isn't serving your vitality well. So these are things to keep in mind. Next up, we have a July 2023 charm casting reading by the Renaissance Mystic. I hope you guys enjoy. The Aquarian age is for knowledge, calling all seekers of ancient wisdom and self-discovery. Myself and Marie Russo are thrilled to announce the launch of our new Facebook group. This group is dedicated to maintaining the integrity of astrology and other tools of knowledge such as cardiology, human design, psychology, and more. Whether you're a beginner or an expert, this group is for anyone who wants to learn more and maintain a standard of practice. So make sure that you join the Astro G Ladies for engaging conversations, live events, resources, services, and more.
Welcome to the July Charm Cast. This is a pretty interesting spread that came out because I've done other readings for the month. And to be honest with you, there are so many common themes. And I guess since this is a collective reading, I guess it only makes sense that some themes are repeating. So I'm going to start in the center. So in the center, we have the fleur-de-lis. We have pieces of the black cat, the trumpet, and like Chinese currency, all touching the center, even though the trumpet, the cat, and the coin are in different sections. They're all touching the center. Now, the thing that's solely in the center is the fleur-de-lis. Okay, so to me, that's sovereignty, that is spiritual autonomy, being chosen and ordained for something. And that could be as big as having a huge spiritual purpose, or that could be as small as just having a purpose to fulfill within your own life, within your own work, spiritual, family, friendship dynamics. It could play out in any way. Okay, I'm probably talking to a lot of people here, so this is going to mean something different for everybody. Now I'm going to start in the most populated sections because those are the most complicated sections. So in the self section, we have a crescent moon there, we have a shooting star, a frog, and half of the porcupine charm is in the self section. Okay, and this is relevant because frogs are amphibious. They are both, you know, they can exist on land and in water. They lay their eggs in water. They usually indicate, like, you know, that there's like rain coming. And to me, in the self section with the shooting star there and the crescent moon straddling the line between love and self. The crescent moon, this one I believe is a... So it is a waning quarter moon, which is mystery, secrets, and shadows. How appropriate for the self, right? We are delving into our own inner mysteries, and within those inner mysteries come the frogs. Frogs are often toxicity, but I see frogs as an opportunity for purification. So the crescent moon, obviously, mysteries, lunar cycles, women, your subconscious, and the shadows. And the shooting star is kind of like a beam of light in all of that. Like you when you follow it, you might not know where it ends, but you know it's going to land somewhere. This is kind of your journey. You have no idea where this darkness or where this mystery is going to lead you, but you have to follow it nonetheless. And again, because the frog lays its eggs in water, and it's just, it's a very like watery being as well as a, you know, a land being. I mostly associate frogs with moisture. And I know like where I used to live, they used to hop around in the sewers and stuff all the time. Like they're not afraid to get their hands dirty. So use them as an example. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. And the eggs, frogs laying eggs, and with it being in the self section, to me, that speaks to me of little eggs, little Easter eggs your subconscious has been sort of gathering. And when you start uncovering them and those eggs start to hatch, here's where the porcupine comes in. You might start to feel on edge. Your nervous system might be triggered. You might really want to do some work around, you know, your nervous system and your emotions and your reactions, because this is going to be a big thing. Okay. Now I know that in our traditions, I'm learning a lot about the Aramaic traditions and cycles and how they approached the zodiacal seasons and things like that. And Cancer season is honestly a season where it is very heavy. It is not a lighthearted season. It is a very heavy season. It is a very subconscious season. It is a very family and ancestral season, and those things come with burdens. So we've gone into the self section. We're going to go into the family section, which is appropriate for Cancer season. The porcupine is also halfway into the family section. So these things that you might be coming to realize about yourself could be rooted in your family, or perhaps your family just make you aware of these things that trigger you. What I found to be very interesting, though, was that we had a quarter note. No, I had an eighth note, or it's called a quaver, that landed in the family section, along with the Joan of Arc charm, Saint Joan of Arc, a graduated cylinder, and half of the porcupine. So there are many ways that this might play out for you, but the way that I heard this was that, like, a quaver, when you count notes, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's that like and thing in between counting notes. It's weird to describe because I'm not a musician, but it's like, for me, I get that there might be some intense conversation where somebody's spouting off, oh, this and that and this and that and this and this. So you might have like an ancestor talking in your ear, or you might have family members talking in your ear, or your intuition might tip you off on something that somebody's going to say that's going to, it's going to carry weight. The graduated cylinder is there because it measures the volume of fluid. Okay. So like something that someone might say might tip the balance of what is acceptable or what is easy for you to carry. It just looks like a lot of tension. And Joan of Arc, obviously, she was very clairvoyant. Obviously, she cross-dressed to get into the military, I believe. And although she is sainted and her purpose was bigger than her, she still received the punishment for it. So you might have to just speak up and kind of get what's on your chest off of it and sort of muddy the waters a little bit. And you might be having conversations where you say, well, you don't listen to me and you only care about yourself and you only care about how you look. And you might be throwing the finishing blow onto somebody because somebody just seems to be crossing a boundary or creating some sort of friction or tension where it doesn't need to be. Or perhaps this was a long time coming and they've been spared one too many times, you know. Porcupines are all fun and games until you get their quills stuck in you, and then it's not fun anymore. So this speaks to me of there being some like divinely orchestrated sign to rock the boat a little bit, because if you don't, it's never going to get done and it's never going to get resolved. Okay. Now we're going to go into the work section. In the work section, obviously, we have a light bulb and the Chinese currency. Now, on a world scale or a grand scale, this could have something to do with financial issues, like financial institution issues. There could be some illumination regarding financial institutions or foreign banks, things overseas. I mean, it's not a regular coin. It looks like a piece of Chinese currency, or it's an artifact of some kind. You could have a great idea when it comes to work, or maybe you meet like a foreign ally who perhaps, you know, has knowledge of something that you're trying to create. Some of you could be building a brand and maybe you have to do your manufacturing overseas. Excuse me, I had to take a sip. Just watch your money. Make sure that you're getting, you know, what's worthwhile. Make sure everything's on the up and up. Some of you might be dabbling in some work overseas. Like maybe you and your friend are collaborating on something and they work elsewhere. Now if you guys are looking at if you guys are looking at the mat, you will see that the work in the work section, there's the light bulb, the Chinese charm, the fleur-de-lis, the cat, all in a line. And the work section and the charms that are kind of like in a diagonal formation. And on the friendship side. So it's like it's creating this line between work and friendship. A lot of people, I think, are going to be going to work or into business with their friends or making friends overseas or people who are foreign to them. Now I'm going to skip to the finances section. So the finances section, it has the pie charm and it also has Saint Therese. So the pie charm is really about transcending duality to enter the gate of unity. Pi is also infinite. Saint Therese, however, she had a very interesting upbringing. She experienced a lot of loss. Nobody took her seriously, but she's known for having her own little way, okay? So while her way may not have been big and grand, and she might not have been the most, you know, may not have been the best at meditating or the best at being in contemplation, or she had areas of her studies in the convent or areas of difficulty when she was in the convent, but she was still such a beautiful, pure soul. And she said that every person has a little thing that they could be doing. Like, not God is happy with you, or creator, or whoever you, so whatever you subscribe to, you are loved regardless, and everything that you do is valid. So with, now she also died of tuberculosis, and like I said, she experienced a lot of grief. She had a young death. She died at like 23, I think, but her symbolism is roses. And not only that, but I say flowers and like roses and violets. So roses and violets might be your, you know, synchronicity that verifies that. Or you might see the pie symbol somewhere. That might be your your validation. She believed in everybody had something to contribute, right? Even if it doesn't look as big and as grand as what somebody else is doing. But when she died and they exhumed her body, there was a smell of violets that everybody who was, you know, working on her gravesite smelled, and there's no violets in that area. So that was just the smell of her body. And she, I don't believe she really decomposed either. There are a whole bunch of saints who passed away who they call the incorruptibles, because their bodies have showed little to no decay since their passing. I'm not sure if she's one of them, but perhaps that's a story that might interest somebody. I really see here in the financial section, you're transcending a fear of thinking that you're not doing enough. And in that way, you transcend that duality, that shadow in regards to you not doing enough, or you're not accumulating enough, or you're not valuable enough. Because while finances do mean money, it could also just be a house of value. It could be something that you value. Perhaps you just have to, you know, with all that inner work that you're doing in the self section, this leads you to some sort of like financial breakthrough. Maybe you just have more opportunities coming to you, even if it's just exposure, or even if it's just word of mouth. Something is going to help you to kind of reconcile the way that you think about earning income, or the way that you think about existing within your purpose or what you are worth. It could also be a money block. A money block is recognized. You recognize that something you have been doing has been getting in the way of you accumulating money. In the home section, we have a broken piece of a shell, but I'm not gonna look too much into it being broken. I found it this way. So there's something very cyclical going on here. There's something very ancient going on in the home section. Now, home could be where you feel comfortable. Home could be where you grew up. Home could be in your childhood home, in your aunt's house. Home could be anywhere. There's the hair, the microscope, and the shell. First of all, some of you could very well be looking at new homes because you're looking to start a family. Some of you might find out that you're pregnant. The microscope could kind of be just the only way that it can convey an ultrasound. You might be having an ultrasound. For some people, you might find an old trinket in an apartment that you live in. You might be picking up the floorboards and find like an old coin or a skeleton key or a button, or something there is significant, and it means something to you. And for some people, that's not what it is. For some people, they're repeating the shells. The shells represent a cycle. So you could be closing out a cycle, really looking in on a cycle that began in your home as a child, and that is giving you anxiety. Because rabbits are they're not very like warm and friendly. They're very anxious. They're always running away from something. Like, look at the white rabbit. I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late. And he's always running from something. And like, I feel like this is indicating like presence. Like, if you allow yourself to be in a situation, wherever that is, home, finding home within yourself, finding home within your prayers, your meditations, finding home within your friendship circles, your social circles, like whatever home means for you guys, there's definitely something very cyclical here. There's something that is probably giving you anxiety, but could also lead you to your abundance if you look hard enough. And that's what the microscope is about too. It's like you are just magnifying something small, and maybe you don't find an actual trinket. Maybe you stumble upon, maybe you have a dream about something and it leads you down this rabbit hole. Oh, rabbit hole. Shit. Exactly. Something, you could have a dream while you're visiting family, or maybe you have a dream about, I actually recently had a dream about being in one of my family members' homes, and babies were relevant. So I'm aware that within this reading, I'm seeing my own self. But I think during Cancer season, a lot of these themes are common for everybody because everybody has Cancer in their chart somewhere. There's definitely this energy of really, really taking a deep dive. Like, don't wait till Scorpio season and Pisces season to do your deep diving. I know Cancer season, you want to be out and about and everything, but I could tell you right now that everybody has something heavy weighing on them right now. There's just this collective weight that I feel. And I don't know what it is, but don't overextend yourself. You might want to be careful because the magnifying glass pokes into the travel section. You might want to be careful with who you travel with. You might want to do all of your research before you travel with somebody. Let me go into the travel section as well. So there's a thread, a feather, some of the hot air balloon and some of the microscope are all in the travel section. A thread is a connection. It's a binding, okay? It's a binding. It's a tether. A feather is usually a symbol of synchronicity for me. So it's like a validation that I'm in the right place at the right time. It could be that spirit is looking out for you and making sure that you are at the right place at the right time, because you will probably avoid something. But it almost looks like for some people, there will be people that you meet that you didn't know were going to. It could be like going to the shore and you didn't know that one of your other friends was going to the shore. And like this random meeting, you being with whoever you're with and your friend showing up, like there could be a point of contention, or a friend could come and visit and travel to you. And perhaps there's something that they have to say, like they themselves are bringing spirit messages with them. And you might want to do your due diligence and your investigation. They might come and they might be having trouble disconnecting from somebody else. There's so many ways that this could play out. Now, I also want to bring to your attention that the trumpet is sticking. It's in three parts. It's in the center, which is the core of the reading, the core of the message. And it's also in the travel section and in the friendship section. Okay. And in the friendship section, you have the black cat sticking out of there as well. I mean, this to me feels like a harbinger of some kind of difficult energy, or just a cattier energy. It doesn't even have to be just that. Trumpets to me, I mean, it's the sound, like, you know, when you're at like a summer camp and they blow the trumpets to wake you guys up, like to me it could also be an omen of light, an omen of dawn, of getting up and waking up. One of your friends could really come to visit and just completely blow your mind or change your perspective on something. In the friendship section, apart from the trumpet and the cat sticking out there, there is also the hot air balloon. Now, hot air balloons to me, it's like they don't go long distance, you know, they don't go long distance. They bring you up enough for you to kind of enjoy the view, but they're not really meant for long-term travel. So this is probably a local friend. This probably isn't anybody that's foreign, or, you know, just not domestic to us. And it kind of looks like they're just blowing in with all of this wisdom or all of these feelings. And there's something that they bring with them that is just so illuminating. And something that really requires like your spiritual x-ray vision, your sight. On top of, and I normally don't keep charms that fall off of the mat unless I feel called to. On top of the mat, there is the DNA spiral, and that is literally hovering above the travel and friendship section. There is something that seems so faded, so genetically coded, so molecular about these meetings or these connections that are made. It feels like soul family is amping up on a deeper and more profound level. And everybody, like that statement that like we're all just walking each other home. I mean, like, I'm really getting that here. I'm really, really getting that here. So in the friendship section, they definitely might have some intuitive wisdom to lay down on you. You know, they might see synchronicities upon their travels, or you might be the friend that's traveling and you might see synchronicities along your way. And then when you arrive at your friend's house, there's all this like innate wisdom and protection. Some of you might actually have to go to your friend's house for protection. You know, maybe you're traveling or you're in the midst of moving and you're going to visit somebody before you move. And there's just something very like faded that happens here. And remember, at the center, there's the fleur-de-lis. That's something that's very ordained. It's so on purpose. It's so purposeful. It's an indication of purpose and of birthright. So something, that energy permeates throughout every category here. Love, self, finances, work, family, home, travel, friendship. Like that is what all of the rest of this is built upon, you know? So now we're going to move to the love section. The love section, like I said, which moon was that? I forgot already. Oh, the crescent moon, the waning quarter moon. So again, mystery, secret, shadows. That's in between the love section and the self section. And in the love section, we have the ram. So the ram could indicate Aries. Maybe there's a new relationship going on. Did you know that rams can see 300, they have like a 360 degree field of vision. They can see without turning their head. The only time they cannot is when they're on their back or when they're tipped over. So in the love section, make sure that you're not being love drunk and you're not being idealistic because of that waning quarter moon with the shadows. I would dare say that that feels very much just like a fling. So if you're hoping for anything else, I would really, that's probably why the trumpet and the black cat are in the travel and friendship section. Some of you can be blurring the lines between friendship and love. And for me, it's just looking like that's not a good idea. When you're on your back, you're not seeing straight. That's the quote I'm getting. So there's something there, regarding love. However, the horns on their head represent spiritual cycles and they're often used as weapons. So that, I shouldn't have said, however, that is sort of pairing or compounding upon my initial message, which is to probably not put too much stock into whatever this encounter is, and don't let somebody disarm you because they're charming. You know what I'm saying? Now I really feel like, again, the shooting star in the moon in between the love and the self section is really showing you where, how, what you believe about yourself or patterns that you have exhibited are overflowing into all the other areas of your life. There is such an emphasis on the family and travel, but that ultimately has something very much to do with you. I mean, the home section, the travel section, the family section, those are the most populated sections. And like, There's so much there, but it all can be reconciled within the self. That's how you're bringing it back to the self. So with everything that you do for the entirety of Cancer season, do your due diligence and bring it back to yourself, because you're going to enrich yourself. You're going to move past an obstacle, past a generational curse, past something that's been keeping you stuck for as long as you can possibly remember. As deep as this, funnily enough, the thread actually isn't a charm that I have. Somehow, some way, a thread landed on my mat. So I took it. I just wanted to note that as well. So that's a happy little accident there. And definitely an indicator of some sort of tether, connection, a bond, a binding. I hope I wasn't too all over the place, because there's a lot here. And some things pop up after I've moved on. But I think I'm pretty solid about my sort of energetic overview for what this month could bring to you. Definitely make sure to share after the month has passed. And any of these symbols can end up being validations that this is what you're going through. So happy Cancer season, happy swimming. And we will see you next month.